This is a download from BFM 89.9. The business station.
Well, looking also this morning at another country across the world, though, Canada is going to be heading to the polls later today. This is 4 years after Justin Trudeau's Liberal Party swept to power. But things aren't really as clear-cut this time around. Now, several other parties are also rising in the polls. Under Canada's system of government, it's actually 338 separate races, with candidates in each of the country's federal ridings or constituencies from coast to coast to coast.
Yeah, they're all fighting for their chance to sit in Canada's House of Commons. If one party wins 170 seats or more, Canada will have a majority government. But currently, the government had won 177 seats, while the opposition had 161 seats. So this election will see the largest number of female candidates running ever, with 651 females across all parties. And of course, healthcare continues to be a perennial concern for Canadian voters. And of course, climate change has been dominating as one of the issues that matters most to voters.
And just like in Malaysia, house prices have also soared while wage growth has slowed. So the results of today's election will be decided roughly in three key ways. Vote rich regions like Quebec, the Greater Toronto Area, and in the Lower Mainland, British Columbia. Now, Canada, of course, is a vast nation with large swaths of wilderness. So I think it'll be a challenge also for how these candidates to do their door-to-door campaigning.
So for more on this morning, we have on the line with us Professor Daniel Belland, a director of the McGill Institute for the Study of Canada in Montreal. Thank you for joining us, Professor. Now, Justin Trudeau did start off with a lot of popularity, but he has since faced several scandals, for example, the blackface incident, as well as the SNC-Lavalin affair. And he's been heavily criticised for his policies, like approving expansion of the Trans Mountain oil pipeline. So in your estimation, what are his chances now?
Well, I think that the conservatives and the liberals are neck and neck in the polls. So I think that Justin Trudeau has at least 50% chance of staying as prime minister after the elections. But it's highly uncertain because it's such a tight race. I would say that a year ago, most people thought that the liberals will sail to re-election, will not find any problem getting a second mandate. But right now, after all the issues that you mentioned and others, certainly the personal popularity of Justin Trudeau has declined over time, and so has the popularity of the Liberal Party.
Yeah, so Professor, next likely candidate is the Conservative Party's Andrew Scheer, a very different person from Trudeau. Could this person, Andrew Scheer, be palatable to Canadians?
Well, Justin Trudeau, as I said, has lost some of its popularity in recent months, and even, I would say, over the last year and a half. But he remains more popular than Andrew Scheer. So Andrew Scheer is a low-key person. He's not very charismatic. And he follows basically the same playbook as Stephen Harper, the former Conservative Prime Minister. He's from Western Canada. The Conservatives have a very strong base in Western provinces like Saskatchewan and Alberta, and also in rural areas, but it's much harder for them in Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal, the three largest cities.
And, you know, Professor, commentators are calling this one of the closest elections to date, saying that the outcome could be a government without a majority. So could there be any policies that might be at stake because of this?
Oh, absolutely. So if you have, as you said earlier, fewer than 170 seats, if the party ahead doesn't have the majority of seats, then we are in a what we call a minority parliament. And our system works very much like in the UK, so you have different scenarios that could occur under the context of a minority parliament. One of them is coalition government, like they had in the UK under Cameron, but it's very unlikely, well, it's quite unlikely in Canada. We haven't had a coalition government at the federal level since 1917, so it's not very common. But what's more likely is a minority government, and the party in power will have to receive support from at least one other party to win key votes in the House of Commons, but without necessarily a formal alliance or without a formal coalition, at least. And that's the most likely scenario, and that will complicate matters depending on who finishes first, who has the most seats. If it's the Liberals, they can probably govern with the help of the NDP, which is a left-wing party. Ideologically, they are relatively similar, even if the NDP is a bit further to the left. But for the Conservatives, having a minority government will be much harder because all the other major parties are left of them, if you look at the political spectrum, and so they will have to, I think, to struggle in order to stay in power, at least struggle more than the Liberals will do. And certainly that will affect the policy agenda either way.
Thank you very much, Professor. And that was Professor Daniel Bellant, Director of the McGill Institute for the Study of Canada in Montreal. And it's going to be an interesting race over there. Andrew Scheer, whom we spoke about and whom the professor gave his views on, was actually the youngest Speaker of the House of Commons at age 32. He's an interesting candidate. He ran for the leadership of the Conservative Party on the slogan, Real Conservative, Real Leader.
Yeah, and in a way, I don't know much about Canadian elections, but I just know what I know from just reading the press over there. And one of the attack slogans, which has seemed to be most effective, is that the slogan goes as follows, right? Justin Trudeau, full stop, not as promised, full stop. So I think that basically a lot of people are saying in Canada, at least, that this elections in Canada is not really an elections in Canada per se that we know it. It's a referendum on Justin Trudeau itself. And basically it seems that he's overpromised and under-delivered. Initially he was seen as someone who was the liberator of women and Indigenous people and all things and a balanced budget, but he hasn't done that. And with the Livinia scam?
Yeah,
I think he just lent in heavily in favour of party donors to the detriment of everyone else.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.